be king.
Just for a while. Well, here's one of those things. I've always wanted to talk to Rich King. I enjoy his work immensely. He's been reporting on sports here in this town for nearly 50 years, just shy of 50 years. And he says he doesn't want to do it anymore, and we won't stand for it. Rich, please, change your mind.
Well, I change my mind so often that I can't do it this time, or else I really need to catch the heat from some of my friends in the business. I've been doing this for, like, talking about it for, like, the last 8 to 10 years, and now I'm finally doing it.
Well, see, you've saved your money. You can do it, because I feel you're too young to do it.
Well, you know, I tell you, I was blessed with very good genes. My mother died last October at the age of 97.
Oh, God love
her. She looked like she was 77. I'm 68, and I feel like 48, and I could probably go on for 5 more years if I wanted to. But a lot of things went into my mind about this. This is not a rash decision at this point, so I decided to do it and really have a chance to expand my life. It's kind of, you know, retirement is a funny thing. It's a, you think it's an end, but it also can be a beginning, and that's how I think you have to treat it, or else you're wind up really depressed about it.
Rich, we've asked Dave Ennett to join us. You were the person who unleashed Dave Ennett on an unsuspecting public many years ago.
I know. He was one of the best hires I ever made. Look at his career. My God. Press box named after him. And I'm so proud of him. He's done such a great job over the years and makes a great call. You know, I was just listening to him this past week. And sounds a little bit like Vin Scully the older he gets.
Yep.
You
know? Absolutely.
He's been compared to to Vin a lot.
Well.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I need to say a good friend. His daughter, Lindsay, is a great writer. She helped me in my second book, Back in the Game, and did a great job in finishing up that book for me.
Well, we just found that out off the air. Dave, Bill asked me, who do you think helped Rich King? Who co-authored? I'm like, I don't know, Dave Ennett? And Bill goes, not even close. I was pretty close.
You were fairly
wasn't
close.
I, Dave?
Fairly close. Yeah. Same DNA, I think.
Rich, what did you see in Dave, a very young Dave Ennett, that made you say, I got to hire this guy. He's got a very bright future ahead of him.
Well, he had a great, first thing, he has a great work ethic. I don't know how he's doing it at so many shows and so many different outlets at this point in his career, but he's doing it. I did it years ago, and I was very tired doing it. And he's a great talent. He's a great writer. He's obviously a great communicator. The games speak for themselves when he does them on the radio. He's a professional broadcaster, and that's I knew that. I could see that in him early in the game. He's and plus that he never gets tired of working, which is, you know, all of us in this business work hard. He's one of them.
I'm tired this morning. I worked for you last night. It was a short night. But you know, everything, and I mentioned this the other day, the guys on the beat asked me, and I probably learned more from Rich than anybody I've worked
that
with
says a lot.
In my career. From the days where he ran the newsroom mm-hmm. over at CBS, and I was a gopher, basically. I've answered the phones, and then I became a writer, and I would do anything I could to try to ingratiate myself with the sports guys, you
sure.
know, so I could kind of weasel my way into sports. Rich had sort of done the same thing, right? I mean, that was sort of your path.
Oh, no question. I was a newsman for 7 years. I was assistant news director. In fact, you're right. I ran the station with John Altman for 4 years. And in 1977, we got the Bears rights. And I weasel my way is a good word. I talked my way into doing the production for the Bears broadcast and also doing some on-air work. And that's how my career began. I didn't get on the air until 1977. And Dave and I did the first ever Bears broadcast in 1977 from Canton for the Bears, and on BBN, that is. And it was a great time. We had a great run. And as you go out in life, it's still a great run. I still enjoy a lot of what I do. And the reason I retired is basically it's very simple. I at my age and what happened to me in my life, I decided I needed more time with my wife because I remarried 6 years ago, a lovely woman, and grateful to have her. And we could have the weekend, and, you know, Dave, you know what this business is like. It's long hours. And what happens is you wind up, wait a minute, I'm 68 years old all of a sudden. I've seen a lot of people die in my life. And I don't mean just, I mean seeing them in person. And that's the hardest thing in
sure.
the world. My first wife, Maggie, died, and I'll take that to my grave. And my mother died this past October, and April's sister died a month later, Noelle. So we had a lot of death in our family. And I was taking care of my mother for 21 years since my brother died. And when she died, it kind of changed things a little bit because now we have some freedom and we're going to go from here. But life is, you got to see that when it happens, you know, and I think there's a time I can go on and do something else and maybe work some part-time deals and enjoy the life a little bit more.
Rich, you wrote a beautiful, essentially a love letter to your first wife, Maggie, in your book, My Maggie, and then a fantastic follow-up that you already mentioned, Back in the Game. When you're writing something like that that's so personal and so poignant, what is that like? Is that, that's got to be a just a bundle of mixed emotions, huh?
Well, My Maggie was a great book for three-quarters of it, and then at the end I got really depressed because I wrote about her death. The second book, Back in the Game, about me and April, that was a happy book all the way because we're still living it. And that's the thing about my career that I'm most proud of. You know, people ask me what sports was great. I accomplished a lot of avenues in sports, but it gave me the platform to write two books about life. Maggie enjoyed every day of her 53 years. She taught me that. It was hard for me to learn, obviously, but she tried to teach me that every day is important. To her, a glass of soda or a cappuccino or a veggie pizza was a big event. She liked the small things in life because she was going blind and going deaf, and she could have them. And that taught me a lot. In the second book, when I was depressed after Maggie died, I met April and everything turned around. She's, you know, I keep telling people she's the exact opposite in every way, body wise, face wise. But the one thing they do have together, and that's a zest for life. And April has that, and she brought me back from really a depression. And so, you know, I want to spend some time with her. You know, it's our time now to get together and go and do things. Well, years ago, I would have a book by Ernest Becker called The Nile of Death. And you have to use that, I think, use death as a reason to enhance your life. And I did that. I tried to do that. Maggie did that. We tried to enjoy the life because, you know, you only have so many years. Later on, that book, the idea of that book, the thrust of that book was done in a movie called Hannah and Her Sisters by Woody Allen,
mm-hmm.
in which at the end of the movie, she says, you know what, if this is all we got, let's just enjoy it. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the movies. Enjoy the shows. Enjoy being with your wife. Enjoy everything. And that's what you have to do. And it's a hard thing to do because you wind up with all these complications in your life, you know, the work, and then maybe you're doing something else. And you wind up getting aggravated and looking ahead to the future. Well, the future all of a sudden, you know, it's not so long. And when the future is not so long, you begin to think, whatever I've got, how about 20 years left? But I'm going to enjoy those 20 years.
That is spoken wonderfully. Rich King on the line with us, retiring after 48 years in the business from WGN Sports at this point. I was just telling Bill off the air before we spoke to you, Rich, it's like, you know, Bill and I haven't saved our money. We're not going to retire. But our job is much easier. You know, radio is different than TV. And we brought up you and Dave Ennett. You guys are doing so many projects and you have so many hours that you do deserve some time off to enjoy your life.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, we broadcasting and people do not understand it. They think I think people think we go to games, have a hot dog, and go home. I'm serious. I mean, people tell me, "Oh, you had a great." It's no question. It's a great job. I loved every minute of it. But it is time consuming. You know, I had three jobs at one time. Dave's now doing. He's doing Northwestern. He's freelancing for GNTV. He's doing other projects. His life is wrapped up. My life every weekend. I'm going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. And people sitting at home. So that's an issue. It becomes an issue. Wait a minute. Well, how long can I do this? And if you have the opportunity, the financial willpower and the financial stability to not do it, and then you say, well, wait, I'm not going to do it because I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy the life with April, and that's something that's just top priority for me. And that's the only way I could do it. Unfortunately, I'd love to stay in the business and do it, but that's not possible in this business because it takes too much of your time. It's a great business, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for what I had. But there comes a time when you say, look, your family, your wife, you know, that's more important right now.
You know, when he says he's been talking about this for years, he's not kidding.
Really?
I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with Rich over the years where he said, yeah, I think this is going to be it. I want to get to spring and I'll be whatever age it was going to be. And then I'll get to my next birthday. I think I'm going to hang it up. And that was like 10 years ago.
I owe more guys money in this town. I bet I might be retired, you know, and I'm not retired. And I owe guys $100 dinners. I mean, this is 5 years ago. I told somebody in Bourbon Ass, look, if I'm here next year, I'll give you $20. Well, it's $100 now. I mean,
but that's a true testament as to how much you loved your job, Rich. I mean, you don't want to do it, but there comes a point. I love what I do too, but I realize all the you're not going to have as much stress when you retire, because part of that stress is getting to all your different places on time. And right. that's what's going to be awesome, is to have no stress.
Well, it's a deadline business, no question about it. But Dave and I do, you're on there at 9 o'clock, you got to be ready, and there's no not being ready. But it also is true that you have to enjoy your life, and that's the main thing for me, is just to enjoy the life. And I love working with Dan Rohn. I got great producers, Jackie Bang and Bob Jordan and Jim. I've been doing 24 years with those guys. There's going to be some tears at the end of this thing. But, there's time to pull the trigger, and I think the time is now. My mother's death was a huge factor in it.
Sure.
And also the other factor I mentioned was being with my wife on the weekends. You look back and you say, my first marriage, Maggie died at 53. You look back on that, we had a great marriage. It was wonderful. But there's so many things we could have done. We put off. We didn't go to Europe. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. And looking back on it, I don't want to make that same regret.
Absolutely.
Again. I could have done something. April and I are going to travel. We're going to go to Europe. We're going to go to Australia. We're going to see all the things you want to see. We'll have time to do it. And in this business, I think this business demands your time. I don't think you can do it. Some guys do it part-time, but I don't think you can do it part-time. Because if you do it part-time, then you're going to lose your sharpness. You're going to lose your being in the moment, being in the game. You have to keep track of everything in this business, especially in sports. And that is gone when you retire. And if you're semi-retired, I think you'll wind up making mistakes, if you don't follow the way you should.
Rich, are you okay on time? Because we still haven't talked about your first love, the Chicago White Sox. That hasn't even come up yet. We have other questions for you. Are you okay on time?
Yeah, I've got an interview at 11 o'clock. See where I am right. I'm parked in front of U.S. Cellular Field waiting for an interview in about 10 minutes, so I can walk right in. I got 10 minutes.
All right, stay where you are. Rich King says he wants to retire. We're doing our best to talk him out of it, but
no,
he makes
no,
a very good argument.
No, I want him to do it.
He's making a good
argument.
I want
to retire with you, Rich. You have talked me into it,
come
and
to
I'm
that.
Young.
All right, stick around. We've got a little bit more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm not that young, by the way.
It's been a hard
working much harder than we have, that's for sure. He's Rich King, and after 48 years in the business, he wants to take some time to enjoy life while he still has some life left in him. How does that sound, Rich?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what you have to do. That's the reason for this whole thing. And again, it's just sad to leave the Gia family, because it really is a nice group over there. And I will miss those guys immensely. I miss all the people in the business, too. I hang around with them on the various shoots we do around town, all the camera guys and the reporters. I got a lot of friends in this business. I have to maintain contact, and after I retire, and we get together occasionally and keep that arm out there.
Rich, what's the difference in reporting sports in this city, in Chicago, do you think, as opposed to other cities around the country?
Well, I wish I could answer that question. I never worked anywhere else, but I'll tell you what Chicago is. And Chicago is a very provincial city. It's a city that, if you earn the trust of the audience, it's the ball game, And you have to be around. I'm a native Chicago, and I grew up in Pilsen, 17th and Racine. I went to De La Salle High School here on the south side, right down the road from where I am right now. And I went to UIC. I never left this town. I had a chance to go to Atlanta as a newsman and then New York as a newsman, and I didn't want to do it. And stayed in Chicago all my life. It's a very good sports town, obviously, and a very loyal town. If people like you, they'll stick by you. And I've had that very fortunate luck over the years that people have stuck by me.
Yeah, I was telling these guys earlier, Rich, about the days when you were on the White Sox radio crew. And I was the producer back in the studio. But Joe McConnell, who was the great play-by-play voice of the Bears for a long time and also did the White Sox, and then Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall and Rich. Mm-hmm. That was the radio team. And I mean, Harry and Jimmy, to this day, the most entertaining duo
of all
time. Certainly not politically correct.
Never.
But
never.
The most fun to listen to of anybody. And Rich was right in the middle of all that.
Yeah, Dave, if I wrote a book about that 2 years, I'd be sued. that was the wildest 2 years of my life and then the most fun 2 years of my life. Jimmy Pearsall, a character up to the extreme, and Harry, of course, so many stories. And, in fact, I got to cover it when Harry died in 98. I happened to be out in Palm Springs covering it and told so many stories about his great life and what a character he was. And Joe McConnell, the consummate professional, who I'm a Facebook friend with Joe now. You talk about a great 2 years. It was a lousy team. They didn't do much. The guys were great, though. The players were great. Once you're with a team, you get, you're part of the team family. They trust you, and you trust them. So it was a great 2 years. And that was my dream as in college, to be a White Sox broadcaster. I realized that dream for 2 years, and, of course, the rights got shipped out to a different station, and I lost the games. But at least I had it. I had that dream of 2 years in the White Sox broadcast booth.
You saw some amazing things in your career here in town. You saw a White Sox World Series. You saw a Bears Super Bowl championship 30 years ago. You saw several Bulls championships, and now the streak that the Blackhawks have been on. Is there one in particular, Rich, that just means the most to you?
Oh, man, no question. I put it in my second book back in the game. The White Sox bus. I was on the White Sox bus in 05. Don't ask me how I got on it. I was surely lucky. I mean, maybe somebody likely in the organization put me on it. I don't know, but it was the number one bus. Jerry Reinsdorf was on it, Mayor Daley, Ozzy, Canerco. It was number uno bus. And of course, back in 05, Maggie had been dead for 3 years. And it was just emotional. I mean, Maggie was a big White Sox fan. And the emotion of that moment, being with Reinsdorf, who I became friends with, and just here I was a White Sox fan when I was growing up at Pilsen, and now I'm on this bus. I said, what put me here? How did I get here? I mean, it was an amazingly emotional ceremony for me, amazingly emotional ride. And that was the number one thing in my life, just being on that bus at that particular time. A sea of people, such a happy day. And I could almost feel, I could almost feel Maggie next to me, which was really powerful.
That's really sweet. I grew up with my grandfather being a Sox fan when Harry was with him, and was it Channel 44 that had him on? And my grandfather's black and white little tiny TV with the broken coat hanger helping with the antenna and changing the channel with the pliers. And then my husband and his family, White Sox fans. It's really exciting. It was a really exciting day in 2005, but that's very sweet that you felt Maggie's spirit there with you.
Well, I tell you, the national anthem, I cover the games, of course, here in U.S. Cellular, and that was emotional. You never know what's going to hit you. I mean, you could be walking along the street and think of something, but Josh Groban sang the national anthem, and there were tears coming down my face through the whole anthem. And a lot of people felt the same way about relatives who had passed, obviously, and were big White Sox fans. A lot of people visited graves and put White Sox banners on the graves. There was you think of people who were gone, and I was one of them.
Rich, please understand that your work here over these past 48 years is greatly appreciated. There's a lot of people whose lives were changed just by the way you reported on sports in the city. So we will miss you greatly.
Well, I think the most important thing about my life was the two books. The sports was great, but Back in the Game is out there now. My Maggie can get them on Eckhart's Press, and it's 95% of my life is in those books. And I let it all hang out because I wanted people to understand what Maggie went through, number one, the hero that she was, and also then my resurgence when April, I met April. So I think if you put your life out there, you know, Jackie Robinson once said that the only value of a life, the importance of a life, is the effect it has on other lives. And if you think about it, that's what you're left with. You know, you when you die, your money goes, everything's to somebody else. But if you impacted somebody, Dave impacted me, I impacted Dave, other people in the business impact, and that's the way it goes. That's the way it should be. And you carry that with you to your grave, and it's really a positive thing.
This guy's been on hold, and I got to let him tell you how much you mean to him. Kevin, you have 30 seconds. We have to run. Go.
All right, I will be quick. Bill and Wendy, this was great. Rich, I just want to share with you, I'm a big fan of the radio, but I'm a big fan of TV. And just what you've just said in the last few minutes, you embody the love of sports. And I can always remember that you were always, even before the Hawks were big, you always covered everything, you know, much more than what they do today, some of the guys that, you know, focus on the big-time stuff. And what you shared with us, with your experiences and your sports experiences, your life experiences, all the way through your tragedies and things like that. I'm so proud and grateful that I ever had the experience to listen to you. And when they say that Rich is doing the sports at night, I'm like, all right, awesome.
So thank you so much. Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody who's followed me over the years and watched me and watching me or listening to me on radio. I really appreciate your support, and I will take that with me when I retire.
Thanks, Kevin. Rich, a pleasure. The best of luck in everything you do. We really have loved everything you've given us over the years, so thank you.
I've got till June 15th, so I'll be around.
All right,
and
perfect.
Then afterwards, when you have the extra time, will you come in the studio and hang with us for a little bit?
Anytime.
All right.
And will you still take my calls?
Yeah, I will. It's a given.
I don't know the way he laughed, Dave. I'm not positive. Yeah, the way sure. Rich laughed. Yeah.
Best of luck.
Thanks, Rich. That's okay, Rich King, everybody. Guys. Thanks, Dave, for stopping in on
Thank
this.
You.
Really appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and then Steve has the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.